Welcome to this BIOS podcast, and thank you for taking the time to download it. I'm Christian Harris, editor of BIOS magazine. Companies of all sizes depend on instant messaging to instantly connect with employees, partners, and customers around the globe. Home users also use the technology to keep in touch with friends and family. However, IAM-borne security threats have increased dramatically in volume since last year. According to various reports, the quantity of IAM threats increased 250% in the first quarter 2005, compared with the same period in 2004. Threats come in the form of viruses, worms, spam, and phishing attacks sent over public IAM networks. Perhaps more alarming is that some 50% of the incidents reported last year involved attacks at workplaces, where freely available IAM software such as AOL Instant Messenger, MSN Messenger, Windows Messenger, and Yahoo Messenger were all used. Also concerning is that more than 75 new threats on public IAM and peer-to-peer computing networks were discovered in the first 3 months of last year. And over 82% of the incidents reported involved IAM virus or worm propagation, while 14% dealt with IAM file transfer hijacking. Only around 11% of the incidents involved attacks on known vulnerabilities on IAM applications. Based on this data, your company should take a close look and managing IAM security issues. In this podcast, Vincent Weaver from Symantec Security Response examines how the rising use of instant messaging in the workplace impacts internet security. We hope you enjoy it, and we hope it helps you and your company stay safe.
I'd like to introduce Vincent Weaver with internet security leader Symantec. Welcome, Vincent.
Thank you very much.
Vincent, what is your role at Symantec?
My role is as Senior Director of Symantec Security Response. This is an organization which is dedicated towards research, analysis, and providing security protection for enterprise and consumer customers for the latest types of internet security threats.
Vincent, I understand that you're here today to provide insights on internet security issues and trends from 2005 and what effect they have upon companies.
Absolutely. We want to talk about the latest changes in the threat landscape, how we're evolving from some of the type of blended threats, mass mailing type of attacks we've seen over the last couple of years, to the type of threats we see today, which is very much driven for the for-profit motivation, the invasion of privacy, loss of confidentiality, types of attacks which can impact the brand reputation and image of the enterprise customers, both large as well as small businesses.
What are the biggest threats facing the enterprise or institutions today?
There's a number of things they should be concerned about out there. One of them, of course, is the changing nature of many of these threats. We're seeing a rise in the types of malicious code that are targeting their personal information, the proprietary information that may lie inside companies. So as we look at the overall rise of the viruses and threats out there, we see that 74% of them are all targeting personal or confidential information. And of course, that's critical assets belonging to our companies that need to be protected. Many of these viruses have gone away from being data destructive, are trying to create a flesh in the pan type effect, to where increasingly they're motivated by trying to get backdoor Trojans, keyloggers, password stealers, and other sort of devices onto their systems, which can allow attacker control inside or the ability to export data outside. So being able to protect their boundaries, being able to protect their critical assets is becoming more critical.
Vincent, how about instant messaging? What role does that play, if any, from a security standpoint within companies?
Companies are increasingly using new technologies such as instant messaging to use communication inside. It's convenient, it's fast, it's real time, so it's got a lot of attractive features for us. But of course, it's also been used by many attackers to get some of their attacks across. Most commonly, it's used for a solicitation. An email might come in with an embedded link in it. They're hoping that you click on the link, and of course, the malicious code is downloaded through a web browser. Another example of this is actually attaching the malicious code to an instant messaging, much like email. If you click on the attachment, you can get infected. Another way they can also use it for is just simply monitoring the type of information you're sending over instant messaging. Many of us seem to talk much freer over email and instant messaging. We say things about projects and information. And of course, many of these are stored in public servers outside of our organization. As a company, there's a number of things that you should be doing. First and foremost, you should be looking at the types of instant messaging that you're allowing inside your organization. If you do not allow instant messaging with outside organizations, you should be blocking it at the gateway. You should be looking to make sure that it's correctly proxied and that people are not allowed to use rogue or unapproved instant messaging clients. Firewalls can be very effective at blocking incoming connections via instant messaging. You can also use whitelists and blacklists. You can also use network intrusion systems to look for some of the malicious traffic that might come across to instant messaging. First and foremost, you need to make sure you've got an effective policy about its usage and communicate that out to your employees.
Vincent, can you tell me some of the top best practices that IT administrators within institutions should be cognizant of today?
Well, I think that first and foremost is defense in depth type strategy. In other words, that every enterprise, be it small business or large enterprise, are going to be doing protection at the gateway as well as the desktop layers. They're going to have multiple layers of protection to make sure that, one, they're effectively filtering some of the traffic coming in, be it email or web traffic, and also making sure that their back-end desktops and servers are also protected. Secondly, they're going to be watching out for the newer type of threats coming in, making sure they're setting and maintaining a security assessment as well as effective patch management into their infrastructure. This is especially important for any company who's got a lot of legacy or older systems out there. They've got to make sure that they're updating all of these systems to make sure they're effective patch level. A good example of that is the recent Zotop virus, which was targeted against a Windows 2000 plug-and-play vulnerability, and it was a significant impact on some companies that hadn't fully patched those systems. They obviously need to support effective patch management as well as password management on their systems. They will also make sure they've got firewall, IDS, intrusion prevention, and a number of other systems to make sure that they're fully protected on each of their endpoint solutions.
Any other best practices that you would recommend?
I think the enterprise customers are increasingly going back and looking at web security in addition to the traditional email security. So as we know, over the last couple of years, we've seen many of the virus mass mailers using email as their primary infection vector. Now as we're looking at adware, spyware, and many other of the newer type of threats coming in, we're seeing web as being the primary delivery for some of these threats. So making sure they're doing effective content filtering, blocking in known bad sites, allowing in good sites, only allowing certain types of applications to run onto their web traffic is an important part of the overall strategy.
Thanks again to Symantec for providing these tips. I hope they help to keep you safe online. I'd also like to thank Ipswich again for sponsoring this BIOS podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit ipswich.com, that's ipswitch.com, to download full function trial versions of all the company's software. And remember, for all the latest IT news, reviews, and technology issues, please go to BIOS's website at www.biosmagazine.co.uk. I'm Chris Harris. Thanks for listening.